As we mentioned, today is going to be a little bit of a unique service. We've done this in the past, and it's good to have the kids with us for this first part. But we're going to go through the entire book of Philippians this morning, friends. I know. You're like, what? You know, yeah. The thing is, here's what's amazing. You know, when the early church got a letter from, say, Paul, you know what they would do? They'd gather up, and what would they do? Read it. Imagine that, right? And they would probably sit there and talk about it. And as part of our Christian formation emphasis this year is sometimes we need to just hear longer passages of scriptures because we are so distracted in our culture and our society, right? Where we can focus all day flipping through Facebook or Instagram or some favorite news feed, but to actually sit, to be still, to listen to the word of God. And if we have a high view of scripture like we do here at the Bridge, that we believe that God will speak as his word is even read, right? And so this morning, the book of Philippians is so rich. It was actually written around AD 60 when Paul was in prison in Rome about to be executed. And he's writing this letter to the Philippians because there was this guy by the name of Epaphroditus who the Philippians sent Paul a gift while he was in prison because you were dependent upon the benevolence of other people. And so he writes him this thank you letter for their gift. And when you think about the context that Paul is in prison, it is one of the most joyful, hopeful letters that you could read. He's like, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't be anxious about anything. Philippians is laden with one-liners that are just nuggets of gold, right? And so this morning, we're going to read a chapter, and then we'll respond and reflect to that. There'll be some questions for us. And I encourage you to either, maybe you're a phone note taker, or maybe you're a pen and old paper. You remember that stuff, pen and paper? Have you heard of that before? It's pretty neat. It's an ancient device that people use to communicate. But maybe you'll write on there, and these reflective questions are coming from the word itself, designed to get us to probe our hearts. Are you tracking with me this morning? It's a little bit of a different wrinkle. But imagine hearing this for the first time and see and ask God to open your heart to hear what he has to say through these incredible passages. And so we'd read these things, and then we will respond as well. There will be some activities that introverts might freak out about, all right, which I'm really excited about, all right? But no, we will lead through this time. And as we conclude our reflection, our first one, we will have an extended greeting time. That's what I'm talking about for the introverts, all right? But imagine this, if you were having a conversation with Paul. By the way, the church in Philippi was birthed in Acts chapter 16. If you ever want to read that, read Acts chapter 16. Paul, in a vision, is called to Macedonia. It says, come over here and help us. This guy shows up in a vision. He's like, I guess I'm going to present day Macedonia. And he goes over there, and a lady by the name of Lydia, great name, is converted. She's one of the first converts. And then Paul is walking through the town of Philippi, and there's this little demon-possessed girl saying, these guys are servants of the Most High. She was a fortune teller, and the people who enslaved her made a fortune off of her, telling fortunes. And she goes, these guys are the servants of the Most High. Imagine, they just hear it yelling all the time. And Paul finally had enough. He says, I command you in the name of Christ to come out of her. And the demon leaves this girl. And it causes a riot, literally, in the city. And Paul gets thrown in jail. And there we hear that beautiful passage about caged birds singing. Remember that? There's an earthquake. Paul and Silas, I think it was Paul and Silas or Paul and Barnabas. It might have been Barnabas. I can't remember. My memory forgets right a second, but they're singing hymns at midnight and the earthquake happens and the Philippian jail is converted and all these things. It's amazing what God does when people are obedient to him and how he transforms their world around them. That's our hope for you this morning. And so imagine if you're sitting in that Roman prison with Paul and they say, what are you in here for? I don't know. I've not been in prison, but I'm assuming prison talk is, what are you in for, right? And Paul would say, I'm in here because I tell people about a guy named Jesus who rose from the dead. He's like, are you kidding me? You're in here for that? He goes, well, I would go from city to city and I keep telling people this guy Jesus has risen from the dead and that he is the king of the universe. And everywhere I go, it finds that it causes me great trouble. I go and I even tell the king of the Jews that there is a king greater than him and he throws me in jail. And then I go to Caesar's place. I say, there's even somebody greater than Caesar. Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. And it's what's gotten Paul ultimately killed for the sake of the gospel. And he writes the book of Philippians from that place. Isn't that amazing, friends? And so this morning, you're going to hear every chapter of Philippians read. And I encourage us during these reflection times to focus, to maybe, if you came and you want to talk with your friend, if you came with somebody and you want to talk about it, reflect. And there's a couple of songs that we'll sing throughout too. And this is going to be a quite a different experience this morning, but I'm excited about it, and I hope you are too. And so let's begin, shall we? Here we go. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will now use your word and speak to us through your word for your glory. And Lord, would you transform us today? And all God's people said, listen to this from Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am but put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. And convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw that I had and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. We've just read Philippians 1. And so we're going to enter into a time of reflection. I encourage you, if you need a Bible, there's Bibles around the chairs. It's on page 980, by the way. And if you want to go back and read that a little bit, we're going to give now some moments for reflection. Maybe take some notes. Maybe the Spirit spoke to you and just hearing something there. But we're going to take some time for reflection for about 4 minutes. There'll be some questions on the screen, and then we'll come back together here in a moment. Well, the early church would have had read the whole thing at one time, right? We're going to continue to break it up into chunks. But you see that the letters were written communally, too. He greets the whole church, and we are the whole church. And so what we're going to do now in this segment is we're going to dismiss the kids, but we're going to actually have a little extended greeting time. I find it fascinating. Have you ever been in a church for a while, and you found somebody else that had gone to the same place for years and you never met? Oh, anybody? Okay, anybody? All right, like any, all right, like, because you guys sit over here and you sit over here, right? And neither of the two shall cross, right? So one of the things that we're going to do in this little bit of extent, what? This is an introvert's dream right now. No, but we are the body of Christ, and it's good to know somebody else, right? And so while we dismiss the kids, we're going to get up, and I encourage you this. You don't have to, but I encourage you to meet two people you've never met before in your life. And if they're sitting right next to you, start there, okay? All right? But we're going to have an extended period of greeting, and the kids are now dismissed, but let's have an extended greeting time. Ready? Go.
sorry, I forgot to tell that. Like, we just kind of like, and then produce the songs, and it's like, this is all perfect, like right after the meeting. And I was like, sweet, cool, perfect. And I was like, yeah, and I was like, oh wait, is that thing that we're like, up the whole time? Yeah, so, cool,
alright. Okay.
I was like, we got kind of good chairs.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the only way to do that.
Thank you.
Are you ready? All right. Oops. All right, all right. Feel free to grab your seats.
I love it.
That was awesome, man. That was awesome. All right, enough of that. Stop it. Stop it. Sit down. Sit down. It's good. I know. All the extroverts were like, I was just starting to roll. And all the introverts are like, thank the Lord, it's over. All right. You know. Hey, that was pretty awesome. That's really good. I told you it's going to be a little different service today. But now we come to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 has probably one of the most exalting, beautiful pictures of Christ and what he came to do. And then Paul is going to challenge the followers of Christ to look like Christ. I think the Christians in our world need to look a little more like Christ, amen? Amen. And let this passage, listen to this passage. So you'll hear this passage read from one of the best readers ever right here, Tom. All right. But listen to this passage. And then again, if you have your scriptures, open it up. We'll have some time of reflection. And after this time of reflection, we're going to sing a great song about how deep the Father's love for us that mirrors this passage. So listen to God's word from Philippians 2.
If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him that name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you stand and sing with us now?
How deep the fire. how vast, beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Amen. Grab a seat.
From Philippians chapter 3. And as you do, Paul thought he was something, and he based a lot of his identity on his pedigree as a good person. And you're going to hear how everything became rubbish for him compared to knowing Jesus. And so now let's hear from Sydney as she's going to read to us from Philippians chapter 3. Okay.
Philippians 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from him, that comes from the faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the examples you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, and by the power that enables him even to the subject all things to himself. The word of the Lord.
Stand and let's sing this one together. Please help us not miss out on what is coming in this scripture, Lord. Allow it to open our eyes as we surrender underneath your word, Lord. Surrender to you and we say that
I surrender all. I surrender all. And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. You may be seated. Now that is a scary song to sing, isn't it? You really mean that, right? It's easy to sing, but wow. Surrendering it all to Christ. As we hear from Philippians chapter 4, We'll hear this, and Paul is thrown out the kitchen sink. It's like, I just rejoice. And he's in prison. And he's praying, like, pray without ceasing. Don't be anxious about anything. You're going to hear this. He's going to give thanks to the people in his life who supported him in this time of trial. And you're going to see the beauty of the gospel played out in reality and relationships. And I hope that is true for us here at the Bridge. And so you'll hear chapter 4 read. And then we'll have some reflection, and then we're going to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Very fitting to conclude by praying for one another and celebrating the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to invite Sue to come up, and she's going to read to us from Philippians chapter 4.
Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of the Lord.
When I was reading Philippians this week, that chapter 4, the beginning, it's interesting. He says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Did you catch that? Like, they must have been squabbling about something. And here they are. It says, like, they worked together for the gospel, and now they're disunified. Their relationship is breaking apart, and they need to get back together. They need to forgive one another and be reconciled, because Paul is reflecting what Christ says, that the unity of the church is what really reflects the gospel. the ability to forgive and move forward in faith. I thought, wow, that's interesting. And then he just goes on, he talks about how he's been provided for so graciously and finding contentment in everything and praying about everything. And so this is important as we head into the Lord's Supper here in a moment, that Jesus even says, if you go and you're offering your gift at the altar, he says, if you have something against somebody, you deal with it. Do you remember this? Deal with it quickly and be united in Christ. So because he does not want anything to come between us because it affects our relationship with him ultimately. And so this morning, what we're going to practice too is we do not, again, I told you this is a little bit outside the box, all right? But we're going to just take some time. You see him praying for people throughout this as well. We're just going to pray for people that we're sitting next to. And as we do this, and we're going to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper by praying for the person. So again, if you're by yourself and you're a little bit uncomfortable with that, you can just say, hey, what's your name? And how can I pray for you? It's pretty simple, right? And again, this is called Christian formation. We believe it is good to pray for people, that we intercede for others. And so if you don't know their name or if you're with your family members, just pray for the person on your right and left and just say, how can I pray for you? And then we're going to come together as a united body to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And so we're going to just take now a couple of minutes of just praying for one another and share what you got to pray for. Does that sound good? All right, let's do it. So we come to the Lord's Supper, and I don't want to interrupt prayer. It's good that we're still praying, you know? But I was talking to some friends this week, and I just encouraged them, begin to pray together. And you know what happens when you pray together? Things change. And you surrender yourself, you humble yourself to the Lord, and God does amazing things. And again, I think part of this, maybe sometimes we feel awkward, is because we're not practiced in the formational things that grow us as followers of Jesus. And today, hopefully, it felt a little different. Hopefully it felt good, you know, that you grew, you were challenged. And here we come to the pinnacle of the glory of the gospel that we read in Philippians 2, though Christ, being in the very nature of God, he humbled himself and became nothing. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place, that the name of Jesus above every name, above Caesar, above any president or prime minister or king or queen, at the name of Jesus, he shall be proclaimed as Lord. And he has won the victory by defeating sin and death and hell and offering us eternal life when we trust in him. And he offers us himself. That's so amazing. And that's what gives us unity, amen? That's what gives us an excitement to live together into mission. That's what gets us excited to show up and worship the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings as a corporate body, and sends us out into the world to express and proclaim and demonstrate his love by what we do and by what we say. And I hope this morning that we look a little more like Jesus. But this is our unity, my friends. And when in a crazy, divisive world, we come back to the cross and resurrection of Christ to unite us. And Jesus, on that night that he was betrayed, he was celebrating that ancient Passover feast with his disciples. And Jesus, after he'd given thanks, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, Christ took a cup of wine, and when he'd given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do proclaim my death until I come again." And therefore, we proclaim every single week, we shout these three statements that reaffirm and unite us and point us forward to the true story. And we proclaim Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. If you're a Christian, come and receive this with joy this morning. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to trust Christ, to rest in his grace and receive his forgiveness. If you're serving, would you come and help prepare to and slide that table over. And if you're ushering, help get ready to help usher people. And then as we wait too, you'll be reminded of the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. And let's partake together. Again, if there's some ushers coming, please help usher. And if you're serving, come serve too. So thank you.